How does a parent keep from raising entitled and morally depraved spoiled brats? Everywhere you turn, moral depravity and entitlement seem to be the in-vogue model for success and popularity. When cultural standards are now more supportive of our children's irresponsibility and sin than a parent's right to demand certain moral standards in their conduct, what is a poor parent to do? Are we, as some have said, deplorable? And now that we've had a changing of the guard in Washington, do we actually have a chance of raising kids that can help make America great again? Well, we'll head to the high ground and tackle these questions with author, columnist, and commentator Todd Starnes. That's next on License to Parent. Well, Trace, I don't know what you think about global warming, but now that America has a new president, I dare say things are going to be heating up in Washington. There seems to be some major political climate change. It's coming right out of the White House.
Yeah.
Do you see this vastly different approach to government as having any residual effect on how we might be parenting our kids in the not-too-distant future?
Well, let me put it this way, Rich. I certainly hope so. But our hope shouldn't be in the one reigning in Washington. Our hope should be in the one reigning in the New Jerusalem, that, of course, being Jesus Christ. But I really think this new administration could possibly be an example to everyone, certainly to parents, that there's more to being a wise, compassionate, noble, an even loving human being than simply being politically correct and flattering all the time.
Right.
Which is so often self-serving and just flat disingenuous. And I think deep down most people know that.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible says we shouldn't be easily offended. And with right motives, I think that telling it like it is can be the most compassionate thing we can do for someone. Jesus, Peter, Paul, and certainly John the Baptist all did. And they didn't always use soft language when they did it either. And as much as we see the flaw of sinful humanity, you know, in this new president, as much as his words and leadership style seem to offend the lemmings and snowflakes created by postmodern thought and political correctness, let's keep in mind, Rich, that God only has a pool of flawed human beings to work with.
Yeah.
Some flawed, you know, in different ways than others.
Yeah, that's a very important point.
Yeah.
Lest we cast stones, we got to remember we're as flawed as the next person.
Absolutely. So pick your poison. You know, I realize that Scripture talks about, you know, a gentle answer turns away wrath. And President Trump, he'd be wise to heed that counsel, especially to the unsaved masses. But think about it. The prophet Isaiah confessed to being a man of unclean lips, yet God still used him in a mighty way. The apostle Peter cursed and swore while denying his Lord and Savior, and God even used guys like King Cyrus and others like him to cultivate the ground of revival for his people. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, look, maybe he and, God could actually use a guy like Donald Trump, too. I think this new administration, if they play their cards right, could help parents realize that higher expectations might actually lead to higher results when it comes to character and behavior out of their kids. That reward should actually be attached to achievement. That trophies go to winners. That there's a price to be paid for mediocrity. And that we can find hope in the character produced by persevering through the struggles that mm-hmm. life is sure to bring our way.
Yeah.
If this new administration can model the good and the wisdom that Scripture has plainly taught previous generations of Americans, then hopefully parents will be freed up to bag some of this nonsensical political correctness and exercise the freedom to raise their kids in a way that's a little more congruent with a biblical worldview. At least that's my hope. I mean, after all, we had to endure the opposite situation with President Obama, didn't we? A man who spoke eloquently, but did some of the most outrageous things imaginable, particularly according to a biblical worldview. So my prayer is that this new administration will in some way, shape, or form help provide a climate where parents can feel as though they actually do have a license to parent their kids, as God ordained it. Because right now, a lot of parents, even Christian parents, Rich, they don't know whether to spit or whine or watch is because of all the political correctness that has metastasized, particularly over the last 8 years.
Yeah. Well, we today are hoping to bring you not just a conversation about this, but access to a guide to making America great again. Today's guest, by the way, is a repeat offender on License to Parent, meaning that he has been with us before. Todd Starnes is no timid commentator on Fox News Radio. That's a position he's held for more than a decade. His daily commentary is heard on hundreds of radio stations. His syndicated column is read by millions. including President Trump. Well, at least he follows his tweets, so that's good to know. He's a frequent contributor on many Fox News Channel and Fox Business Network programs, so much so, by the way, that George Barna included Todd as one of the top media influencers for evangelical Christians during this past election cycle. Todd has authored several books, four in fact, including Godless America. I believe we talked about that last time he was on the program. And his newest book, which has just come out, is The Deplorable's Guide to Making America Great Again. Anyway, that's our jumping off point. We want to make America great again. And Todd, we are delighted to have you with us on Licensed to Parent.
Gentlemen, I can't think of two of the most deplorable people on radio right now that I'm talking to.
Absolutely.
What an
thanks.
Honor.
And proud of it. Well, Todd, tell us about your book, The Deplorable's Guide to Making America Great Again, and why this book is something that Christian parents need to read.
Well, this book, I derived the name based on something Hillary Clinton said at a campaign stop in New York City. Maybe a month or so before the election. And she was talking about Donald Trump supporters, the ones who support traditional marriage and American values. Mm-hmm. And she called them irredeemable deplorables. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, I think she even referenced the term basket, the basket of irredeemable deplorables.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that ends, you know, a lot of people took great offense at that. I got to tell you something, though, fellas. I decided to embrace that word deplorables,
right.
Much like I did when President Obama went after folks who cling to their guns and cling to their religion. He called them bitter Americans. Well, that really became the thesis for this book is how do we, as these deplorables, the folks who cling to traditional values in America, how can we possibly reclaim our country? And I decided to write this book and really write it as a guidebook, a handbook for moms and dads to make America great again, not just nationwide, but inside their own homes as well.
Amen. Amen. Well, Todd, you know, when our kids go to school, when they watch TV or chat with their friends on social media, and they hear that their parents actually rank in the category of America's deplorable people, how do parents best explain to their kids that perhaps the whole world, including our former First Lady, is wrong about them?
Well, I think the most important place to fight this culture war is in our homes.
I agree.
So many times we expect our pastors to do it, our youth pastors, and in some cases we expect our elected leaders to do it. But ultimately, if we're going to take back America, if we're going to restore traditional values in our communities, in our schools, and in our nation, it's going to have to start at home first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back when Ronald Reagan, I was just a junior high school kid when Ronald Reagan was elected, and I remember the promise he made to voters that he was going to bring mourning back to America. And he did just that. He delivered on that promise. But the problem was this. Conservatives thought they had won the day,
right.
And so they went back into their homes and their lazy boys and
yep.
Drank their Diet Coke or Tab, and what happened? Well, soon we had a guy saying, read my lips, no new taxes. And then a generation later, we had a community organizer in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And that was reminded me of something Jerry Falwell once said, that Christians are not good at finishing the race.
That's true.
You know, they start the fight, but they don't finish it.
Yeah.
And so that's why I wanted to write this book, is that we can't rely on Donald Trump to be the great defender of religious liberty unless we're willing to stand up and engage the fight as well.
Right.
You tell a story, and I believe it's in the introduction to your book, about a meeting at a church back in the 1700s when I guess folks were trying to raise up an army to fight the British. And this was the very same thing they were facing back then. I think we've all gotten to the point where we give lip service to what we say and believe, but we're not willing to stand up and take action. Can you recall that story for our listeners, maybe?
One of my favorite movies is called The Patriot, and I suspect many of your listeners have seen this movie with Mel Gibson.
Sure.
And it tells the story of there's a scene in the movie where the folks in South Carolina are trying to raise up an army to fight the British. And so they one of the guys interrupts a church service. And this guy makes this impassioned plea for the men and their sons to join in the fight for freedom. And nobody moves. And finally, this young lady stood up, and I have to imagine she was a Southern Baptist and a member of the Women's Missionary Union, because she gave all the men the what for. And she said, "What's going on with you guys? You're always talking about defending freedom, but when you actually have to go out there and do it, you're not going to be men of your word."
Yeah.
And of course, all of the men in the congregation became convicted by what she said, and so they stood up one by one, and they all marched out to go fight the British. And of course, this was a fictional scene in the movie. But in reality, back in the 1700s, there was a pastor, a Baptist pastor in Charleston, South Carolina, and he preached about freedom from the pulpit. He preached about politics from the pulpit. And he was such an impassioned communicator that our founding fathers asked him to go out into the upstate and help recruit people to fight the British, to fight for our freedom. Now, you think about the pastors in many churches in America today who are terrified of saying anything about politics, terrified.
Yeah, and what's the motive
saying anything about that might offend people?
And
yet here you have a man who's willing to take a stand like that.
And it seems to me that the motive for them being so timid behind the pulpit is for a lousy tax break, or tax exemption rather. I don't understand that. The separation of church and state, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Todd, and parents listening, you need to understand this and teach this to your kid if I'm right. Wasn't the separation of church and state originally meant to keep the state out of the church? Because there were states, in the original 13 colonies areas where you had to be a member of a church in good standing to even hold political office.
That's right. And unfortunately, over the generations, that has been distorted to mean that there's no place for Christianity in the public marketplace.
Right.
And that's where we are at this stage, at this juncture. I've got a story coming about two Christian schools, for example. Their football teams were in the high school championship game. And so, as tradition is in both schools, they start the football game with a prayer. And so, as they were getting ready to pray in the championship game, they told the Florida high school athletic officials about this, and they said, "No, you can't do that. You're not allowed to use a public address system to pray because that's a violation of the law." And of course, this case is being adjudicated now in the courts. But that's the kind of America we live in,
right.
And it's really because because the church has abdicated its authority and responsibility in the culture.
Yep.
And it's this idea of we don't want to offend people.
Right. I'm curious about this. You've got a lot of meat and potatoes in this book. I don't know how you were able to put it together as quickly as you did, but there's a lot of deep meat in here, and I want us to go through some of that. On behalf of our parents who listen, because that's our goal here, is to equip them. Let's take a quick break for our stations and come right back and dive into some of the nitty-gritty there. You are listening to License to Parent. We're talking today with Todd Starnes about his new book that just came out called The Deplorable's Guide to Making America Great Again. It's available on Amazon and where other fine books are sold, and we'll be back with more conversation right after this.
Everywhere we go, we're surrounded by screens. Have we entered into a techno-utopia?
Or a virtual prison? Prison.
Is our social experience richer and deeper? Or more shallow?
And artificial.
Discover insightful answers to these questions in the documentary DVD, Captivated, Finding Freedom in a Media Captive Culture. You'll learn from media experts, church leaders, and inspiring individuals and families from across the country, including Trace Embry and students from Shepherd's Hill Academy. Most importantly, you'll discover how God's Word addresses the unique media challenges we face today. Captivated, Finding Freedom in a Media Captive Culture, available in the store at licensedtoparent.org. Proceeds benefit the Shepherd's Hill Academy Scholarship Fund.
This is Dave Barton of Wall Builders. You know, history repeatedly validates the many benefits of an authentic biblical worldview. The Licensed Parent radio broadcast helps restore that worldview back into the hearts and minds of today's parents, and Shepherd's Hill Academy successfully demonstrates that troubled teens and their parents can still experience the abundant life while being fully equipped to win back our culture to biblical truth. The Licensed Parent broadcast teaches timeless biblical principles and answers that are lived out every day at Shepherd's Hill Academy. Both demonstrate that a biblical worldview provides guiding principles that work successfully every time they're applied.
With the generous gifts from people just like you, we're able to provide parents with practical insights to navigate the challenges families face in today's culture, as well as helping troubled teens in our year-long residential program. To learn more and to donate, visit LicensedToParent.org.
Welcome back. This is Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long residential program helping teens in crisis and, by extension, their families. And that's why we're here, trying to export what we learn day by day inside the gates of Shepherd's Hill to take it outside and help you be a more intentional parent. And today we're talking with Todd Starnes from Fox News Radio about his new book called The Deplorables Guide to Making America Great Again. So not only is Donald Trump trying to make America great again, but Todd Starnes is as well. And Todd, you were saying it all starts in the home. Take us down the path of some of the things that you would recommend parents do and families do to begin the fight to make America great again.
Well, gentlemen, I believe the most important thing for us to be are happy warriors. We don't, you know, for the past, gosh, since the inauguration, we've seen a lot of protests. We've seen a lot of violent protests, people marching in the streets, trying to bully and intimidate their way to victory as far as the message of the day. Mm-hmm. I don't believe Christians should be doing that. We are, most importantly, to be ambassadors for Christ. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, yes, it's important for us to stand our ground and defend our beliefs, but we can't be the noisy gongs or clanging cymbals, as we're warned about in Corinthians. So I really hope when people read this book, they understand that we're to do everything in a spirit of love. That doesn't mean that we have to be little snowflakes about this. No, we have to take a stand. And one of the ways, and we offer some very practical things. For example, you mentioned how there are some schools out there that are trying to rewrite American history. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that I recommend parents do is start teaching your child about the history of our nation, about Amen. Our founding fathers.
Amen.
You know, start that education in the home, because there's a good chance they're not going to get it in the public school.
And talk about it at the dinner table. This is a great dinner table conversation.
And again, some of these are very, we offer a lot of marching orders after each chapter. And some of them are really practical things. Like, for example, maybe one year, take a patriotic family vacation, walk the Freedom Trail in Boston or go to, you know, Williamsburg. I mean, there are so many things that you can do that will bring history alive for your child so they can appreciate the intentions of our founding fathers to establish a country where we can be free men and free women.
Yeah, and I tell the kids here at the Shepherd's Hill Academy a lot. I said, listen, if you can ever get your parents to take you over to Normandy, look at all the crosses at that memorial. You know, you don't see a lot of Islamic symbols in that graveyard, and I think that should mean a little something to us. And I'm all for people believing as they're convicted to believe, but it wasn't Islamic or Buddhist or Hindu ideologies and worldviews that built this nation into what we are. And I think our kids need to understand that and respect that.
Let me ask a quick question just regarding history and teaching history, because so much of it is being rewritten today. Todd, what do you consider to be a good source for accurate historical information about this country? I know we've had Dr. David Barton from Wall Builders on the program before. And Wall Builders has access to probably more documents than the Smithsonian has. So that's a good source. But where do you turn for finding truth in the background of our country?
Well, I actually go to David Barton and Wall Builders. I think they're doing some tremendous work and tremendous research. And look, there are some other resources as well. Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly have some wonderful books that have earned quite a bit of acclaim, you know, teaching kids about history in novel form. So, but ultimately, guys, I think David Barton is in my list at the top of the list as far as a resource to go to. But, you know, when you mentioned, you know, when parents find this material, you know, maybe their child's textbook has a an inappropriate view of Islam, or perhaps they're portraying our founding fathers as a bunch of radical terrorists, which some Common Core lessons have done. You know, it's really important for moms and dads to pay attention to what their kids are learning in the public school. And if you see something, you need to say something about that. And we lay out how you can go about doing that. But it's important for moms and dads to be actively involved in their child's education, if it's homeschooling, public schooling, or private schooling.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. What should we be telling our kids about making America great again, when for some Americans it was never really all that great to begin with?
Well, I believe that that there are moments in our history that were shameful. Mm-hmm. But we have been able to come through those moments. And when you look, what I find interesting about, for example, the civil rights movement. You know, I was born in the Deep South, and so I, you know, race relations is a very important thing to me. But I think the untold story about the civil rights movement is it was a Christian movement. Mm-hmm. And that we were able to right wrongs in America because Christians stood together, right, and fought side by side to secure rights, that all men are created equal.
Yeah.
So I think there are those moments when you look back in our past and you realize that the people righting those wrongs were in fact the Christian citizens of America. Yep. And I don't think that happens in any other in any other country. It certainly makes us unique, and it, quite frankly, it makes us an exceptional nation. And I want to touch on something real quick, because you mentioned Islam. You know, we are a nation founded on Judeo-Christian concepts and values. They flavor every single one of our founding documents, gentlemen. You won't find that in an Islamic nation.
That's right.
Here, you can worship or not worship. It's your choice. But you can't do that in other, and especially Islamic countries. So we have something that is very exceptional here, and it's because of the Judeo-Christian flavoring of our founding documents.
Mm-hmm. Todd, do you feel your book could actually be weaved into a devotional of sorts for parents and their kids? And if so, how so?
You know, I think so. You know, I'm a storyteller, and so instead of just providing facts, I like to tell stories that illustrate those facts. And so my last book, Godless America, was the culmination of evidence that demanded a verdict, that there is a war on religious liberty in America. You know, that war is still being waged, even though President Trump is in the White House. You say, well, how is that possible? Well, President Obama appointed dozens and dozens of federal judges to the bench, mm-hmm, who have a distinct ideology, and that ideology is opposed to Christianity in the public marketplace.
Right.
So we're in for a long, hard battle as we defend our rights in America. And people say, "Well, Todd, why are you always talking about religious liberty?" Well, it's because it's our first freedom, and once our first freedom is erased, then all the other freedoms fall by the wayside. And we've already started to see that, gentlemen. Mm-hmm. There was a Pew study out last year. 40% of millennials believe there should be limitations on free speech.
Wow.
And then you look at the Second Amendment and the fight to take away the right to bear arms. So it's already starting to happen. That's why we have to shore up freedom of religion in America.
Yeah, and a knowledge of our history, too. Why do so many Christian parents, though, think that they're not being godly if they challenge certain things and demand their legal rights? And how can we do a better job of fighting back after we understand that we're not sinning by doing so?
A lot of that comes from the pulpit. Some of it comes from the fact that it goes against our nature. You know, I mean, a lot of Christians, a lot of conservatives, they just it's not in their nature to go out there and march in the streets or take a stand and give a speech at a school board meeting.
Right.
And unfortunately, they have a distorted view of even what the Bible says about what we should do. For example, remember the story of Paul and Silas? They were, you know, singing and preaching in the jail.
Right.
That's what everybody remembers about that story. And then the earthquake and how they, you know, all the chains were loosed. But I think the more important part of that story is what were they doing to get arrested in the first place?
Yeah.
They were taking a stand. They were speaking truth to authority. But then the other interesting component of that is what happened after they were let go. Paul said, hey, wait a second, we're not going quietly into the good night. He took a stand.
That's right.
And again, we as Christians have a responsibility and we have a biblical mandate to take a stand. Old Testament and New Testament. Look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Right.
Right. I think there's another interesting aspect to Paul's various jaunts into prisons. And that was one time when he was being arrested, he said, wait a minute, I'm a Roman citizen. And he knew what his legal rights were as a citizen, and he used those. God doesn't say you can't defend yourself with the law either.
Right.
And I think a good grasp of knowing what the law is and what the law allows would help us all go a lot farther than we have.
He was righteously indignant, and there are moments for that.
Absolutely.
And that's the point I'm trying to get across to moms and dads and to believers everywhere.
Yeah.
Our guest today on Licensed to Parent is Todd Starnes. His daily commentary on Fox News Radio is heard on hundreds of radio stations. His syndicated column read literally by millions. He's author of the book we've been discussing, The Deplorable's Guide to Making America Great Again, available now on Amazon and wherever great books are sold. Todd, thanks so much. We really appreciate the time you've taken with us today.
Absolutely.
Gentlemen, this was a lot of fun, and I really got to tell you, I mean it. Y'all are really deplorable.
yeah.
I'll take
thanks.
That as a badge of honor.
All righty. We will let you go. That is all of our time for our program today. Remember, you can connect with us on Facebook and Twitter and at LicensedToParent.org. We produce this program to help parents be more proactive in the parenting choices they make so that they can raise physically, mentally, and spiritually healthy kids. I do want to remind you, though, that today many kids are struggling emotionally or spiritually and may need the help that we offer at Shepherd's Hill Academy. But in order to afford that, they need your help. Remember that your tax-deductible contribution in any amount can help provide scholarships to needy families and make the difference in a hurting child's life. So please consider donating today to the Shepherd's Hill Scholarship Fund, and you can do so by clicking the Donate tab at LicensedToParent.org. Again, that's LicensedToParent.org. Our program coordinator on Licensed to Parent is Daniel Fazina. Our technical producer is Carl Peets. For Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rosel, inviting you to join us again next time and renew your License to Parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. We'll see you next time.